Resolutions from the Mount sermon series continues as Jesus speaks to us about healthy eyes. Matthew 6, 22 through 23, page 6 of the Red Pew Bible on the screen, or you may look at it in your bulletin and read along. Once again, Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23. The lesson begins. The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The word of the Lord.
To you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus teaches us many spiritual matters in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Tonight, he teaches us about healthy eyes. He says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. So tonight we are talking about what it means to have healthy spiritual eyes. As Jesus indicates that the eyes are the windows that either let in light or darkness into our heart. And of course, the hope always is for us to have more light in us than we have darkness. As we look through Scripture, we see that often the Bible depicts light and darkness as metaphors. Metaphor for good and evil, for God and sin. Genesis 1, we know, says, in the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. But then eventually God said, let there be light. All the way to John chapter 1. John says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Throughout all of Scripture, we can find numerous passages that talk about darkness, and darkness being the primary image for sin and for Satan, while light is the chief symbol for God and for our faith. So Jesus is teaching us about light in our hearts, light in our bodies, light in our lives. And he says it has something to do with our spiritual eyes. We want there to be light, yet at the same time we know that there is this disease called sin. And this sin leads our eyes in the direction to be exposed to the darkness around us. And that darkness causes us to become unhealthy spiritually. There's a medical field. It's called ophthalmology. And ophthalmology tells us that there are a number of issues that can cause eyesight to be diminished. And we're going to take some of those illustrations from the field of ophthalmology and apply them to our own spiritual lives. So in addition to those basic ones like nearsightedness and farsightedness, we want to talk about a couple of these. Here's one right here. The first one being simple eye strain. Anybody ever have simple eye strain? Well, yeah. You know, it's caused just by us doing simple things. Many times by reading too much, spending too much time where? At the computer. Many times driving for too long of periods of time without a break. And so we know that we get strained eyes when we do these things. Spiritually, our eyes of faith get tired. Our eyes of faith become strained when we over-focus upon some of the elements in life for too long of a period of time. Things like worries, problems, and fears. In doing so, our spiritual eyes become strained. Here's another one. It's called the lazy eye. And it happens when one eye becomes weaker than the other. It's because the one eye, the weaker eye, doesn't develop as strongly and properly. Doctors say, I talked to Dr. Ann Plenicky this last week, and she said that this occurs many times because the eye doesn't get the correct amount of visual stimulation in order to make it work harder so that it would be stronger. Spiritually, our faith lives get weak and lazy at times. When we don't use the God-given gifts that he has put on loan to us to serve others in the name of Jesus, we too spiritually can have a lazy eye. Here's another one, cross-eyed. This is when that the eyes, as you look forward, they're misaligned. And each one, when it focuses upon something, they kind of gradually come together in the middle. There's a misalignment there. We too can become misaligned in our faith lives. We can go over the line. We can get cross, you might say, with family members, friends, and neighbors, whereby we don't focus upon the human being that God created them to be in His image, redeemed by Jesus' blood. Here's another one. Pink eye. This condition, if you've ever had it, causes itching, burning, inflammation, irritation. It's all related to an infection that gets in the eye. Dr. Ann said that pink eye is also very contagious. Spiritually, we get pink eye, so I'm going to call it red eye, the angry eye. This happens when we allow anger or hurt to fester or become inflamed in our lives. It then infects our souls with a bitterness and a grudge, and it also is very contagious. Contagious to whom? Primarily to ourselves, meaning that we have a hard, hard time getting over it because we keep giving it back to ourselves again and again and again. Yes, we too can have the pink eye spiritually. Next one is cataracts. How many of you have had cataract surgery? Yeah. How many has Dr. Ann done your cataract surgery? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, when she does that, I mean, she is so good at what she does. This isn't the sermon part over here. Well, she is so good at what she does. She gets in there and she says, you know, I know these people. These people are my friends. I worship with them. I shop at HEB with them. I go to Walmart with them. We live in community together. And so when I work on them, I just have to think about it. It's just an eyeball. That's all it is. It's just an eyeball. And so she goes to work and she does an amazing job. Cataracts. Cataracts are those cloudy areas that develop over the lens of our eyes. It diminishes the light. It blurs the light. It allows us to not see things as clearly. Our vision is blurred. Spiritually, we get cataracts when we blur the lines of right and wrong. We say things that we do something and we know that it's wrong and we say, I'm only human. Or we rationalize our sinful behavior and say, well, everybody's doing it. Yes, we too in our spiritual lives can have cataracts. Here's another one, the dry eye. This is when the tear ducts aren't releasing the proper amount of moisture, and so they have to be artificially moisturized. Spiritually, this is when we don't have empathy, when we don't have heart to release the proper Christian care, anointing others around us, those who may be experiencing physical, personal, spiritual, or emotional needs. We too can get the dry eyes spiritually. And one more, drooping eyelids. This happens when the eyelid muscle sort of kind of goes a little Auschwitz-spiel, if you know what I mean. It sort of kind of wears out. It's kind of like a rubber band. You know, you stretch it too much, and too many times you stretch this rubber band, and it doesn't go back with as much elasticity. And so it is with our eyelids. The eyelids kind of get worn out. The muscle gets worn out, and it droops over the pupil a little bit, blocking clear sight. Spiritually, this happens to us when our souls kind of get run down. They get run down because we're not strengthening our spiritual muscles in the way that we should with regular prayer, with regular worship, with fasting and study and daily devotions. We may pick one or two of those things, but you know, we need more than just one or two arrows in the arsenal of our weapons against sin, death, and the devil. God would encourage us to use all these elements, prayer, worship, fasting, study, daily devotions, to keep our spiritual muscles strong, lest we too droop in our faith. You know, we could add a whole lot more. We could talk about more severe conditions like glaucoma, diabetes detection, discovering life-threatening brain tumors that only an ophthalmologist can even detect. You know, you can go to the eye doctor 1 year and you might have 20/20 vision. And that doesn't mean that a month later or 6 months later or even a year later that something new doesn't develop. Problems can enter into our lives ever so slowly, but they sure can enter our lives, and we don't even notice until it becomes a real issue. You know, it's sort of like a weight gain. You know, you don't eat a whole bowl of ice cream and all of a sudden put on 10 pounds, right? I mean, the weight just sort of attaches itself to us. How? Bite by bite, spoon by spoon, helping by helping, calorie by calorie, day by day, week by week. When all of a sudden, the old belt, when you go to fasten it, you got to let it out one more notch, don't you? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens ever so slowly. And so it is with our spiritual eyesight. We can find ourselves little by little, not even noticing that we're starting to let a little more darkness into our eyes, which gets into our hearts. You know, sometimes it plays itself out like this. You know, maybe we'll just occasionally use the Lord's name in vain, but all of a sudden we're incorporating it in every other sentence in our speech. Or maybe we've started just kind of borrowing a few tools from the boss, but that borrowing tools from the boss, I've noticed that, my old tool shed has a whole lot of the boss's tools in them these days. Or maybe it has something to do with a sporadic telling of lies, maybe lies to your spouse. And you just said one, you just said two, but all of a sudden you got to cover that one and you got to cover this one. And it slowly grows into now that's just kind of the norm of the way that you operate with that spouse. You know, maybe it's something too as you just kind of turned on the computer. And for guys in particular, this could be a struggle. And you go to an inappropriate site and you just did it once. You saw the porn on the site, but you did it once and you know it's there, and maybe a month later you do it, and then a week later, and then twice the next week, and three times the following week. It starts ever so slowly, but the darkness can enter our eyes and enter our hearts. And slowly but surely, we just sort of accept the new place that we come to as the new normal, as the way it just is now. Or maybe the way it's always been. When I was in grade school, I was in fifth grade at the time. I guess I was 11 or 12 years old. And we sat alphabetically in class. And so VTech, I was at the back row. I was at the very back. And when school would be let out every day, I would take my notebook and I'd move up a couple of desks. And I would write down the homework assignment that the teacher had written on the board. Because I couldn't see it from the back row. And so I would write it down almost every day. I'd do that. And so the teacher noticed one day, talked to my mom and dad about it, who took me to the eye doctor, and I got glasses. Are you kidding me? I didn't know kids were supposed to be able to see the chalkboard from the back row. I mean, that was like a new thing to me. I thought that was just for the good kids. I thought I was a bad kid. Sitting on the back row, you don't get to see it. At the end of school, you have a class, you go up to the front, you get to write down the assignments, and that's how it was. I thought that's just how life normally was. We can get into a place in our own spiritual lives, in our own visioning, where we too might just be sort of living on the back row. Not seeing how God is present in my life, when things are tough. Not envisioning that there is a God who values me more than the boss who keeps putting me down. Not perceiving that I could actually leave that abusive relationship and have a better life. Not picturing that I can, by God's power, rise up above this grief, the grief that won't let me see the light of day. Or not imagining that if I actually went to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, that I could get the upper hand on my addiction. You see, the devil uses darkness to move into our lighted areas, to move into our eyes, and to create shadows to take away life's joys, the joys that God intends for us to have. I remember as a kid, going to a Carlsbad Cavern. And that was just an amazing place to be. I've been there two or three times since. But journeying down deep into that cave, many of you have been there as well. And as you go, you know, the trail is lighted. And so you get there and you see the stalactites and the stalagmites and the aisles, the trails are lighted. And it's just a wonderful, beautiful adventure. But then you get down deep into the belly of the cave. And I don't know if they did it when you went on that tour, but they sure did it when I was. The tour guide turned off the lights. And it was total darkness, total blackness. Could not even see the hand in front of your face. The guide went on to say that after a period of time, it could be weeks or months living in total darkness, one sight could be permanently damaged, if not the person blinded. You see, Satan's job, Satan's task is to introduce just a little darkness, a little bit at a time, in the hope of diminishing the light of God in us, taking away some of our faith, creating a little bit of doubt, leading us in the direction, not of full blindness, but just not the ability to see as clearly as I could or as God would want me. You see, the devil desires to diminish that light of God. Give us the lazy eye. Give us the cross eye, the pink eye, the cataracts. He wants us, devil does, to eventually believe that God truly doesn't love us and God isn't for us. So thanks be to God that there's more than just the devil on this planet, right? Thanks be to God that we have one who is known as the great physician. The great physician to help us realize that life doesn't have to be like we're living it if we're living in some of the shadows and living in some of the darkness. That's not how God intends for it to be. That God has a better life in store for us. He can examine our eyes. He has the power to chase out the darkness, to restore spiritual health to our eyes and hearts. That in God the cataracts can be moved, dry eyes can be moistened, drooping eyes, well, they can be surgically repaired, and lazy eyes can be strengthened. Even the blind can again see. But you know, the number one problem with respect to the doctor being able to help us or not being able to help us, you know what the number one issue is? Yes, it is. It's actually making the appointment and then keeping the appointment. You see, the great physician can only bring healing to the degree that we as his patients are willing to make and allow him to examine our eyes, to examine our hearts. Martin Luther encouraged us to take a look at these on a regular basis, to let these be an eye exam, if you will. There should be a copy in your bulletin. I hope that's there for you. We're not going to read through those today. But I want you and God to do an eye exam, if you will, to go home and to read not just the commandment, but Luther's explanation to those commandments. And in doing so, ask God. Ask God to clear up your blind spots, your gray areas, so that the light may shine in your darkness and that the darkness may not overcome it. Amen. Amen.